The last time I was up here doing a light bite, I chose a very heavy, difficult, controversial topic. And then Toby decided afterwards that he'd get you guys to ask me questions. So this time I've decided to go for a much lighter topic to avoid that. but I really struggled to come up with a good idea on what to talk about. I decided I should probably talk about something I'm passionate about, but then talk about football wouldn't go down too well, nor motorsport, and especially not politics, amongst other things that interest me. In fact, I began to wonder why I had volunteered to do another light bite at all. But I really enjoy maths. Maths is something that really interests me. And so I decided I would find something in the Bible related to maths. Nothing complex, so don't worry. I'll try not to put you all to sleep. So I'll take you on a very brief journey through Numbers, not the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, but counting numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And the significance of each of those numbers. Toby has already told me that the most important number that I need to be aware of is the number 10, as that is the number of minutes I have. Now, in nature, we find certain numbers are very important and have enormous significance. Numbers such as pi in circles and spheres, the golden ratio in sunflowers, flower petals, pine cones, the list goes on, speed of light, and all sorts of other numbers. So it should be no surprise that an almighty creator who in creation gave us all these numbers that have very specific meanings and consistency, that it's no surprise that in the Bible it's the same story. There are lots of numbers and they all have significance through them. So with the number 10 firmly fixed in my mind, I will rattle through these as quickly as I can. So we start with number 1. The number 1 in the Bible represents union, oneness, uniqueness. The Godhead is one. There is unity within the Godhead. A man and a woman become one flesh. Those that belong to the church belong to one body, and we all share in one bread. In each case, there is oneness and unity. The human race came from one man. The entry of sin through one act. And ultimately, the gift of grace through one man. Number 2. Two can be a figure of both unity and division in the Bible, but it also can be a sign of, it's used as witness. So the unity of man and woman in marriage, and of course it's Lauren and Declan's marriage next Saturday, which we're all very excited about. The companionship of animals that entered the ark, they are entered in two by two, apart from the ones that entered in 7 of a kind, but we'll gloss over that. There is also, two can also stands for division. There are two parts to the day, two great lights dividing the day and the night. There are also two masters, one true, that's God, but there's also one false, which is money, the Bible talks about. Two masters, you can't serve them both, so there's division there. But also the Bible talks about witness, that two people were required by law to witness. Two angels testified at the tomb, and there are two witnesses during the tribulation. Moving quickly on to number 3. Number 3 is associated with the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity existed before the foundations of the world were laid. The number 3 is also associated with certain mighty acts of God. And particularly in the Easter story, it comes up time and time again. As Jesus neared his execution, he prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was placed on the cross on the 3rd hour of the day, died 3 hours later, and 3 hours of darkness covered the land after he died. There were 3 crosses at Calvary, and he rose on the 3rd day. So the number 3 is repeated throughout that story. God is also described not simply as holy, but as holy, 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 as stated in Isaiah and Revelation, and as well in a famous hymn, the start of a famous hymn. The threefold repetition of the word holy emphasizes the point that God is holy. Number four, four pertains to God's creative works. There were four rivers flowing out of Eden. There are four corners of the earth, and from whence blow four winds. Number five stands for human weakness. There are five books of the law. Five kinds of animals were sacrificed under Levitical law. They're the goat, sheep, cat, pigeon, cattle, and doves. Five loaves were not enough to feed the multitude. Five husbands could not satisfy the woman at the well. And five empires of man represented in King Nebuchadnezzar's statue, four of which have fallen, and the last will also fall. Then we move on to number six. Number six appears to depict man, the fallen nature of man and the works of fallen man and the evil of man. Man was created on the sixth day. Men were appointed 6 days of labor. A Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years and released the following year. 6 years were appointed for the land to be sown and harvested. And of course, that we all know the number of the beast is 666. The number six falls short of the glory of God, which brings me to seven. And the number seven is God's number of completion, perfection, and rest. The number seven is very often linked with the number six. For in 6 days, God created the world, the heavens, and the earth. On day seven, he rested. Prior to Christ, there were six covenants with man. Covenants with Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Leviticus, and David. Is that six? Yeah, that's six. And the seventh covenant is the Messianic covenant, and that completed the work of the first six. So the first six were incomplete, temporary, a mere taste of what was to come. It was the seventh covenant that completed the work of the first six, which was whole, perfect, and permanent. The number seven is one of the most repeated numbers in the Bible. There are 7 days for the Feast of Passover and Tabernacles, 7 weeks between Passover and Pentecost, 7 years to complete the construction of the first temple. The list goes on. But Revelation takes the number seven to a whole new level. Seven churches, seven letters to the seven churches, seven stars, seven angels, seven lamps of fire, seven spirits of God, seven seal judgments, seven horns, seven eyes in the Lamb, seven trumpets, seven thunders, 7,000 men slain. And this list is probably only 1/7 of the sevens in Revelation. So from number six, which represents man and sin, to number seven, representing completion and perfection, we move on to number eight, which represents new beginnings. So there's a clear pattern there, six, seven, eight. There were eight people on the ark for the new beginnings after the flood. On the eighth day, a male child was circumcised, and in Ezekiel's vision of the new temple, the priests make their offering on the eighth day. And then that brings us on to number nine, which represents finality and faith. It was on the ninth hour Jesus declared, "It is finished." There are nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are also nine Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Number 10 represents human failure, but also the completion of divine order. It was the 10th generation from creation that was judged for sin by the great flood. There were 10 plagues on Egypt. There are, of course, 10 commandments and a 10% tithe for acknowledgement of God's gift of abundance. I'll skip over number 11 because I couldn't find anything for it, other than the amount of players in a football team. So I'll move on to number 12, which represents God's government. There were 12 sons of Jacob, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus, of course, chose 12 apostles. The number 12 also appears in Revelation many times too, maybe not as many times as seven, though. Finally, number 40 represents trials, probations, and testings, for it was 40 days and 40 nights that it rained upon the earth in the flood. 40 years Moses was in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and 40 years he served God. 40 days Moses was on Mount Sinai when he was given the law. Saul, David, and Solomon ruled as kings for 40 years each. And 40 days Jesus fasted in the wilderness. And for 40 days Jesus taught his disciples after the resurrection. Now, in conclusion, throughout the Bible, numbers are mentioned, and there is a consistency to the relevance of these numbers. There appears to be a pattern and an order to them. It is consistent with the Creator who created order. And finally, I challenge Joth, although he can't complete this challenge for now 3 months, but Joth often likes to have 3 points in his sermons, just like this morning. But my challenge is this. If the sermon is about the Trinity, make 3 points. If it is about human weakness and sin, make 6 points. If it is about unity, make just one. But maybe don't stretch this idea to a sermon about fasting.